episode 55. My name is Dave Hunt. I'm joined by Michael Swick.
Dude, it's finally happened. We finally have new consoles. It's great. I'm so excited to watch my console crash.
Yeah, I was say, you got significantly more time with your stuff, your toys this week than I did. I still didn't take any special time off work for Destiny or for Series S or X or PS5. So I worked a regular 50-ish hour work week and nothing special. So hopefully I get a little more time with it over the next week or so.
My work has definitely hated me. It was my birthday last week, so I took time off, and I came back to work like 1 or 2 days, and then I took days off for the PlayStation launch. So I don't know how to work anymore when I go back Tuesday.
I think I might have been able to. With me changing locations at work, like it just seemed like it was a little bit, just a really weird time for me to change locations. But nonetheless, I mean, I'll get my time with it. Like maybe I'll just get exposed and have to like sit in a room for like 2 weeks.
Chances are really high.
Yeah,
high right now.
My wife brought that up. She's like, you'd probably be the person that with some underlying condition we didn't know about, when like with an enlarged heart or something.
Like so that. Far, everyone and I know that have had it, like they've been able to like luck out, and it's been like just a horrible flu.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't want to take that chance.
All kidding aside, I want to be intentionally exposed. Like, I don't want to be like that kid on that meme back in March, like licking the handrail. Like, that's not me.
my coworker who just recovered from it came in and we ordered pizza, and he was just like, I can't smell it. And I felt so bad for him because it smelled delicious.
Yeah, it's just rough. All right, so we are Digital Days Gaming. We are a weekly show that covers all platforms of gaming. If we think it's relevant or you as the community want us to talk about it, we usually try to look into it. So you can listen to us on podcast services of your choice. If you can leave us a review, that is always appreciated, as well as sharing the show is super helpful. So reviews, we haven't got a review in a little while, so I know there's I see a lot of you that listen. We see the physical downloads, and those don't match the reviews. Just saying. So if you have a minute or two, I know some people can't review depending on what platform they listen on. Podcast Addict has its own account, and you can also see it on iTunes. And I know those are the two for sure that you can review, guaranteed, written reviews. Yeah. So if you can do that, we would appreciate it. Call it pandering if you want, but help the show grow. Especially with all the both new consoles out and a whole bunch of stuff going out. Maybe some people are looking for some more stuff and some more entertaining. So, you know, maybe you guys can shed some light on that. So, news is super light. And the links for all of our social stuff that we were talking about, Facebooks, Twitters, Discords, all that stuff is in the show notes. So just go ahead and check those out. And then you can also just hit the website, digitaldaysgaming.com, and all those feeds are there also. And we haven't really been pushing it at all, but we do have shirts. So there, you know, shirts and hoodies. We have a Teespring account. That link is in the show notes as well. If you want to check those out, a couple people have already gotten their shirts and they've already posted pictures in the Facebook group. And I'll try to take some of those pictures and put them on Twitter as some things. Actually, the one that Chad Moore posted, I think might actually make a pretty cool cover photo for our Twitter header for a little bit, maybe. Because, you know, maybe till the end of the year or something. So. But there's some good stuff on there. I still have to order some samples for you and I. I just keep forgetting to do that. So. Mm-hmm. So there's almost like no news. Codemasters got bought by 2K, and that's really like the only thing that happened for some ugly amount of money that seemed ridiculous for that studio. But hey, apparently that's the going rate. So, but we're going to dig into the consoles just a little bit. So, for me, just off the bat, I got a Series S. It delivered from FedEx on Tuesday. It's actually like, this isn't like a common, like an unknown thing, but it's really small. Like,
it's adorable, especially you posted a great picture of it next to the PS5 and wow.
Which is fine. Like I'm totally good with it. Like in terms of like, as my entertainment area in the living room is growing, or changing and evolving, like I'm totally okay with like not having to worry about having access to this thing, because it's only digital, so I can plug it in somewhere and I can turn it on and off with the controller. The controller, I have not, and I meant to do this before we recorded, but again, just work and life, I have not taken my, I guess, Xbox One controller upstairs and compared it to the Series S controller.
It's very subtle changes.
But it actually looks smaller, like slightly smaller. It still uses batteries, which is crazy. and this is a common thread on both consoles that I thought was a little annoying. Neither one of them came with a USB-C cable for linking the controller.
An extra one, right? What do you mean?
Like you bought a cord at all?
No, the PS5 has a cord.
For the USB-C?
Yeah.
That I missed it in my box.
Yeah, you missed it in your box. You didn't get one. Though I did see a photo of some people that bought the digital edition, and they ended up getting a physical.
But I dug around in the box. I didn't see a USB-C cable for the controller to link the controller.
Yeah, no, I have. I was disappointed. It's USB-C to USB-A, which I thought it would just be USB-C to USB-C. But mm-hmm. Yeah, mine totally came with a USB C cable to charge. Hmm. So you might have gotten ripped off, or yeah.
Tucked away somewhere in my box. Here's the controller. I got a second PS5 controller that didn't have a cable in it either.
They haven't come with cables ever.
I think that a USB cable is a little bit more common for something you'd have in your house than it would be, especially like a lot of people that are iPhone owners. They probably don't have a USB-C cable in there. There's a possibility.
They won't need them now.
Yeah.
Since that's all changing over. Yeah.
But I thought that was a little interesting. It still uses batteries too, which whatever. Like it's dumb, but at the same time, I can go buy a battery charging kit thing if I want to. And then, so set up for the Xbox Series S, as soon as I turned it on, it popped up a thing on the screen that said, do you have the app? And you could say yes. And then it said, type this code in. And I typed the code in on the app. And I did all of the setup on the app. I didn't do any of it on the console.
Just kind of cool.
Yeah, so it was nice in terms of like worrying about navigating. I did run into an issue where I think I said it before. Owen has purchased a Roblox currency on when I had an Xbox One. Very easily, and so I was like, okay, well, I want to make sure that doesn't happen again. And I felt like it gave me like three levels of control, like no control, full control, and then somewhere in the middle. And I set it on somewhere in the middle, and it wanted me to put a password in every time I wanted to play a game.
That the PlayStation had options for putting a pin code every time you load up the console, which I just declined doing because that sounds horrible. But that would be annoying.
Yeah, so I had to move that down. So I hope that I have to look into that a little bit more and just see. But, load times, like downloading a couple things was pretty easy. I downloaded a few things from Game Pass that I've been playing. That all went super fast. I haven't ran into any storage problems yet either, but I'm also, not have a huge amount of stuff on the top of my list of what I want to play on the Series S. It's something that I wanted to have initially when I thought like Halo was going to be on it at launch. But then
back when you pre-ordered it.
Yeah. And then, totally content with, using it as a Game Pass machine. I very much enjoy what Game Pass is offering on top of the fact now that EA Access is on there and all of those like Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is on there now, all this stuff is on there. So, like, in terms of a value add, you guys all know, like, my thoughts, our thoughts and feelings on Game Pass. So, I'm totally cool with it. I'll probably buy extended memory for it in a year or so when it's financially stable to do so. Or when I run into an issue. But setup was easy.
You can keep, like, three Game Pass games on there. Like, 3 to 5 Game Pass games on there. That's not a joke or anything.
Yeah. I mean, Ori's not very big. So, I'm still playing Ori and the Blind Forest. It wasn't very big. I downloaded Destiny because it came out and it's on Game Pass.
It's like what, 70 gigs?
Yeah, because it shrunk down a little bit.
Yeah.
And I downloaded a couple of Owen's still playing like Super Lucky Tale, so I downloaded a couple of those games. I can see the storage on my app, and I haven't really ran into any problem. But I haven't downloaded anything like significantly large. Like I'll probably download like the Master Chief Collection, and that'll probably take up like a huge chunk because that's like 5 games.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you get to like when Halo Infinite comes out, that game will probably be gigantic. That's when. You'll probably be concerned about space. Like if you were playing a Call of Duty game, any Call of Duty game, you'd be concerned because you would have eaten up like 1/3 of your console space. Yeah.
However, and we'll transition this into our PS5 talk, is I can put stuff on an external drive and use that.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that when we talk PS5. But any takeaways from like the UI or anything like that? Or
a couple of people in the chat have been asking me in like Facebook groups and stuff has been asking me about if I had any issues with like the UI or anything, and I haven't. But I also really haven't messed around with it a tremendously large amount, and I don't really use it as like an entertainment box either. I have a Roku, so I'm not really. Doing any of those like media services or anything like that on it, so I haven't seen anything that's really been chugging it down, but I probably also haven't spent more than 20 minutes tops in the UI. And a lot of the UI management that I can do, I can actually do on their app. I really like their app. So
yeah.
And again, it's a software company, so of course they know how to make software, except for getting games out on time. So
yeah, yeah, that's a real problem, especially when you go through like 3 or 4 creative directors on one of the games.
Yeah. So, but I mean, again, from the launch standpoint, like they released, I saw some tweets this week, like apparently as in terms of new Xbox accounts created, the Series S had a tremendously large number, like the largest number they've ever had.
Yeah.
In terms of like new, which I essentially think means, I'd have to like exactly read the article or read the blog post that they released, but I pretty much think it means that people that didn't have an Xbox account that now have an Xbox account set it up on a Series S.
Which makes sense. It was the affordable option. It didn't sell out nearly as fast as the X did. Mm-hmm. So I'm still going to have that debate on whether I go with a Series S or a Series X. When it comes time for me to get one, probably December or January. Still debating on when exactly I want to pull the trigger on that. But the proposition value in a Series S is really high, especially right now when there aren't really any exclusive games. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if they had Halo, if they had a Gran Turismo, not Gran Turismo, a Forza, I feel like that would lean me more towards getting an X, you know, to get like the most out of these new exclusives.
I want my car
exclusives.
To be like super reflective in the water, like
Or like I want Halo to be at as many frames as I can get it. But because that's not there, you go to Series S, and you're like, well, I'm going to have to save some money, and the game's going to run. And a lot of people don't have 4K TVs yet because they probably just bought, you know, like a really good HD, you know, 1080 TV like a couple years ago. So I can see the Series S being really successful. Yeah.
It's $300.
Yeah. And I'm assuming it's going to be hard to find an Xbox One S relatively soon, even though they said they're going to still make that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that that's going to be harder to find.
There's still a value for the One S's. I just sold one, so there's still a market for it.
Yeah.
So my market wasn't as high because I didn't want to part with my controller. So, but, so yeah, I mean, in terms of like they're saying like one of the best console launches ever, people are like, I want to see figures. Microsoft hasn't released figures for console sales in almost like 6 years, so I don't really expect them to release figures. And I don't know if Sony's going to release figures either, because they, you know, because like the when they release figures, and even if they use creative words and, you know, like they, you know, shipped consoles, and it's really hard to track sales, you know, nowadays, like direct physical sales, it's really hard to track.
That's so hard right now with how stuff's been working. I mean, it was impossible to go into a store almost to get a...
Apparently it wasn't, though. I've seen a handful of people, like one of our guys that's in our Facebook group, like he's a friend of mine, like he lives in the area around me. He actually walked into a store and got one.
What store?
An Xbox. I don't know. I had to look at his post and see, but he was able to walk in and pick one up. So, and I've heard a couple people have seen it, which again, I'm right. But in terms of physically like pre-ordering, I don't know how this worked at like Target or Best Buy's or like even like Walmart. Like, I don't know if you could, cause they were only allowing pre-orders online, all the retailers, right?
Yes. As far as I know.
Yeah. So in terms of like,
it was pre-order pickup in store.
So I guess if you canceled your pre-order, like right before you were supposed to pick it up, you know, like then there's a chance that there's one that's available for public sale. You know, if they get like 10 of them in and two of them don't go out, you know, then there's always that chance.
And most stores have like a 3 to 5 day window. So don't be surprised if you can go into some stores like Monday for the people that didn't pick up like their PlayStation on Thursday or Friday. And you know, they lose their console. So you might be able to walk into a store this week and like luck out, depending on if people didn't pick up their consoles, especially as, you know, other places went into lockdown. I'm curious to see, you know, the console or PS PlayStation launches in Europe next week. I want to know how that goes, for all that, especially cause you know, there's a lockdown in some places over there that are look more strict.
Yeah, they've definitely, it sounds like looking through our Facebook group for that as well, there's a lot of curbside pickup going on for that. Nobody's going to be going in the stores, but they'll be able to pick up their items. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Any other takeaways from the Xbox?
No. I just didn't get didn't get as much time with it as I wanted to. I don't know. I've been kind of again and I thought that the both consoles would get me out of it, but I've been kind of in this little just kind of like lull of just stuff going on. And and I think it has to do with like, and I think we're going to get into this a little bit too, but it has to do with like, there is no must play. Hey, look, I'm shiny and new. Like, check it out on either system.
Yeah, I vaguely or kind of disagree with that, but I'm also, my excitement level isn't near as, it's hard to say. I just got done playing Miles Morales. Mm-hmm. I think that game is a must play. But it's available on PS4, which that's, I know would be your talking point against it. Is like,
yeah,
it's
not that it's not that it's a for or against it, but it's like, you know, my
friends that are playing Demon's Souls are fucking stoked right now.
Yeah, and but again, like, and I'm fine, like, and like, but I just feel like. Like, and maybe it's me personally, so like if we want to get into the PlayStation a little bit, so Spider-Man doesn't carry significant clout for me, and I think it's
for
me, and that has nothing to do with like I think Spider-Man's a cool character. I love his movies and his and the television shows I watched as a kid, and it's not an Uncharted series, it's not a God of War series, it's not a Horizon series. Even Horizon doesn't carry that much clout for me, you know, in terms of like must play. It's not a Last of Us.
But you do realize that you're kind of in the minority of like Spider-Man not being important to you.
I want to be careful by saying it's not important. It's just not a character that, in terms of from a video game standpoint, that I feel like carries the cachet that like Nathan Drake does or Kratos does. From a PlayStation standpoint.
For you.
From a PlayStation standpoint.
I
know it's sold. It sold significant numbers, but I'm just saying is like from a story standpoint, they're not doing anything super unique. Miles Morales might be, but Spider-Man, did anything happen in Spider-Man that surprised you from a story standpoint?
How Insomniac kind of handled like some of the character stuff was very surprising. As someone who likes Spider-Man in the comics and in the movies.
Okay.
But like in the gaming world, I still think more people know who Spider-Man is than they know who Nathan Drake is. Even in the PlayStation universe, they know that. There's like Uncharted didn't cross over into the Call of Duty community, but I'm sure there's Call of Duty people that would be interested more in playing Spider-Man than playing Uncharted.
Yeah, and again, I am not demeaning Insomniac's Spider-Man game. I'm not demeaning Miles Morales. I haven't played either one for even 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure I could play. I'm going to play Spider-Man Remastered. It's part of the reason why I waited to play it once I found out it was going to be better on PS5. And I will play it. I actually want to stream it for the community for you guys to watch because I feel like it's a game that's been out long enough that I can, you know, I can have fun interacting with the community, playing it over a couple of days. And then I can jump right into Miles Morales. It could be like 7 to 12 days worth of streaming content for Digital Days on Twitch. I won't feel guilty about like showing something off early or worrying about if somebody hasn't played it. Like when I didn't want to stream Last of Us, or you don't want to get too far into Watch Dogs or too far into Assassin's Creed Valhalla when we have early access to those games. It's part of why I tread lightly when I talk about Immortals, because I've gotten more time than other people have with those games, and I don't want to ruin that experience of that thing. And Spider-Man is the exact opposite for that for me.
It's been out long enough, and
yeah. So but what I'm saying is that like there and I guess that maybe it has to do with like I'm older now, because even when I was, you know, PS4 was the first thing that I was able to you know, buy with my own money at launch, play my games, and you know, there were some fun things on there. But even then, like looking back at some of that, because it's showing up on my Facebook memory feeds and stuff like that now, it's like I enjoyed playing Knack because it was new and it was different and you couldn't play it anywhere else. Maybe it wasn't as good, you know, going back and playing it now and seeing it. And then Killzone Shadowfall again was a somewhat marquee IP that was trying to do something differently and take advantage of the new ways that the games worked. And like we talked about last week, like this is more of like a bridge instead of a jump in the console generation. Like there's nothing
I agree.
There's nothing that PS we can tell that with the games. There's nothing that PS5 and Series Xbox Series are doing that I don't think could be done on the previous consoles. And I'm sorry, I don't care about the fact that you can see my hat shadow through a reflection on the puddle. That shit don't matter to me that much.
Yes. We'll talk about that a little bit later, because that stuff kind of matters to me, but lesser extent on consoles than it does on PC. On PC, that matters to me way more than it does on consoles. But yeah, let's talk about the PS5. You know, it came out Thursday, right? Thursday was the day. It came out. I was just waiting because Amazon was delivering it, which meant I had the truck tracker so I could see how many stops it was. Mm-hmm. Don't meet your Amazon driver at the door, or else Amazon will put a warning the next time you have a delivery. Say, please give your driver space. Didn't know that, but I wanted to make sure I got my package.
Sounds like you just got a delivery driver that's like, he was too close to me. Like,
yeah, so basically the driver put it on a porch, and he like took a couple steps back to take the picture of it, because Amazon takes a picture of like, hey, I dropped it on your porch and I left. While he was taking a picture, I came out like, no, it's fine. And I took the box and went inside. And then the next day I had a package delivery, but it gave me a warning being like, hey, please give your driver space. And I'd never seen that warning before. So I don't know if like my account got flagged. But I took a day off just because we've had some package thefts in my neighborhood. Yeah. So I just wanted to make sure I had it there. Immediately put it, you know, I did the cat scale, got my biggest cat, put it next to the system standing up just to see what was bigger. PlayStation is bigger than a 12-pound cat. So anyone needs to know. That thing is fucking huge.
Yeah.
Like, every time I sit down, because I couldn't put it on my regular entertainment stand, so it's sitting on the floor next to it. I have hardwood floor, so it's not going to be the worst thing.
And the vents are out the top, people. It's okay.
Yeah. The heat goes from the bottom out to the top. So I have it next to my entertainment stand. Every time I sit down and I put it on and the damn thing turns blue, that thing is gigantic. It is like laughable how big this thing
is. It's currently sitting on top of my PS4, like in laying down, mm-hmm. and it makes my PS4 look tiny.
It's crazy. But I still think it is a cool looking piece of hardware.
Yeah,
like it's definitely like yes, it looks like a Nighthawk router, but it looks like interesting, and I like that the design they went kind of out there for it, though. I'm guessing it's designed specifically that way because they wanted to figure out cooling, you know. But I like the way they designed it, and even though it's gigantic and it sticks out like a sore thumb in my living room next to my TV. But yeah, I hooked it up right away. I immediately found out, I don't know if you agree with this, the UI is basically like a prettier PS4 UI. Like,
yeah,
overall how it works and functions. Almost to a fault a little bit, because I feel like they took some steps back. But also like improved it aesthetically, but like
I feel like there's some core things in the PS4 UI that worked that they didn't need to change and mess with, and they did.
Yes. But I will say, like, you know, turn it on, the experience of setting it up, pretty easy. It's pretty much what we're used to.
QR code thing was cool.
Yeah, I looked at it, but I haven't updated my PlayStation app in so long that I loaded it up. I'm like, I don't know what to do with this QR code, so I just put my passwords in.
Yeah.
The setup was super easy. The thing is silent. I've only heard it a little bit during Miles Morales, and that was because I muted the TV just to see if I can hear it. I can hear it kind of a little bit. But that impressed me. Like, there never once while this thing has been on and I've played an extended amount of time have I heard the engine revving up like I would with the PlayStation or the PS4 Pro.
Right.
So I'm happy with that. You know, design a little too big. It kind of sticks out, but I still think it's cool. I like what I'm assuming Sony intended. I loaded up like my downloads and then I hopped into Astro's Playroom. Why the thing was downloaded. Astro's Playroom, super cool. I don't know if you dabbled in it
at all.
Or you just skipped it. Yeah, I knew you weren't going to be interested in it at all. But
I need to check it out so I can get a good understanding of the controller. Like, I just need to. But
yeah,
we'll talk about it as we get in my, you know, my stuff.
Yeah, so it's a really good showcase for the controller. Though a lot of the reviews were hyping up how like revolutionary this controller is. It's just fancier rumble, or at least early on. That's how I feel. Like, I definitely can feel like, oh, you know, when the wind's blowing, the controller rumbles a different way. When you're swimming, it rumbles a different way. I feel that, but I don't know if it adds necessary to the experience enough, mm-hmm. as reviewers were talking about. But while I was playing Astrobot, my system crashed, hard crashed, because it was trying to install Miles Morales while I was playing, and I think the system got fucking confused. And it hard crashed and corrupted my Miles Morales download. So I had to re-download Miles Morales, or delete my corrupted download and then start the download again. I noticed that you can only download one game at a time on PS5. On PS4, you can download like 3 games at one time. Of course, I would slow down the download speeds for all the games, but I noticed the download speeds were faster on the PS5.
Agreed.
At least for me.
Are you on Wi-Fi or wired?
I'm on Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Which I'm assuming that is a combination of they're using Wi-Fi 6. They're using newer antennas compared to the PS4 or PS4 Pro.
And
I think
SSD,
you would notice it. So. Yeah, and the SSD makes reading and writing a little bit faster, which I really liked. Especially like if you're coming from the base PS4, the base PS4, based because of the tech that's in there, it was atrociously slow. The PS4 Pro, they added the 5 gigahertz band, which helped with download speeds, mm-hmm. If you're on that network. And then you would notice the difference more if you're coming from a base PS4 to a PS5 than you would notice if you're coming from a PS4 Pro to a PS5. So download speeds were faster, even though you can only download one game at a time. But I did get crashes 3 times when games were trying to install and I was trying to play a game, which looking on Reddit seems to be like potentially a known issue. Also, I had an extended storage hooked up to my system, and extended storage is
I think that's,
broken.
That's the key thing, is you had extended storage hooked up, because for me, this console came out, I thought it was cool that it came out the same week as Destiny, and that actually, as Destiny's expansion, and that actually proved to be a detriment to me in my ability to play Watch Dogs, or to play Astro, or to play Spider-Man, because I fell off the I fell on the Destiny wagon again, because, mm-hmm. and that's pretty much what I played. Because I enjoy that game. Shocker, I know. But I got my PlayStation, and that's the first thing that I did is download the backwards compatible version of Destiny. I just went and it was in my library and I clicked add it. I didn't like transfer it from PS4 or anything like that. I just downloaded it. It took about 20 minutes at the most to download it, that game.
Yeah.
Typically it's a smaller game now, but it's been bigger. It has taken longer. And then while that was downloading, or when that was done downloading, I booted it up to play, because I'd already played a little bit of the expansion 2 days prior on Game Pass and on, I'm sorry, on Xbox and on PlayStation 4 on Tuesday when it came out. That's because I streamed that. And then I started playing on the PS5. And while I was playing it on the PS5, I was downloading Spider-Man and Spider-Man Miles Morales. Interesting fact of during my setup, since I had pre-ordered Spider-Man, it actually asked me if I wanted to download either one of those games during the setup process. It popped up and said, do you want to download any of the titles that you own? Because Spider-Man Remastered is PS5 only, and then Miles Morales, because I pre-ordered the PS5 version. So it actually had like a black...
A list.
Yeah, it was just those 2 games, because I guess those were the only 2 that I pre-ordered on there. And then, so I was able to do that. And then I, you know, downloaded Watch Dogs while I was still playing, And I didn't run into any problems. I have not. The only thing that I really plugged into this PlayStation is initially when I was trying to check some streaming stuff and check some mixer stuff, is I plugged my USB sound card into it that I was using on the PS4. It did recognize my USB sound card, but it didn't do the same thing that my USB sound card does on PS4, because I used to be able to control the party chat and the game on 2 independent sliders on my mixer, and I can't seem to do that right now.
Yeah.
But that's a streaming thing. So
the extended storage definitely is an issue. But so of the 3 hard crashes, I mean hard crash, like system game freezes, system fades to black, can't load the system for a couple seconds, have to hold the power button to restore it or to like reboot it. 2 of those times I had extended storage like plugged into the back of the system. It's an SSD using USB-C. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely the culprit in the two initial crashes. The third crash I had on a second day, there was no extended storage because I gave up using extended storage by that point, because also rest mode is kind of broken right now. If you go into rest mode with all the features turned on and extended storage plugged in, it causes an issue where we reboot the system and it says extended storage was unplugged while installing the game and it corrupts things. So I gave up on extended storage until a patch comes out. And then the crash, I guess, is just something that I might have to factory reset my PS5. That seems to be the suggested thing to do, which just sucks. You know, four days, because
you have a data cap too.
Yeah. So I ended up moving all the stuff that I had on the extended storage into the internal storage of the PS5. So I filled up the PS5's hard drive. Yay. Right away with not a lot of games. It's Astrobot's pre-installed. So it's like, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which I think is like 70 gigs, Spider-Man Remastered, which is 50 gigs, and then Miles Morales, which is another 40 gigs, though I was hoping that would be one package because they both use the same city. I'm kind of disappointed that it's two separate, you know, installs. Bugsnax, and then I have a couple backwards compatible games, Ghost of Tsushima, Red Dead. Red Dead's the biggest culprit in terms of taking up space because that's like 120 gigs. So my internal drive's already filled, which is going to be annoying, but I'll just delete games as needed. So rest mode's broken, extended storage is broken. There's no way to expand right now. So rest mode is broken
for you. It's not broken for me.
But I also think
that Spider-Man is the culprit of the rest mode issues, because that seems to be the common denominator as well.
Yeah. So, other people in our Facebook group were also having crash issues as well. Yeah. So I think it just might be just like luck of the draw in terms of the issues. But the good thing is all these issues, as far as I can tell, are firmware-based issues that can probably be patched out and fixed. I don't think anyone has bad hardware.
This is what you all get for buying the physical version, see? This is what you get.
Yeah, we should have went digital only. But all of these issues seem like they are fixable. Yeah. Like, it's not like any of us, the people on a Facebook group that are having issues.
There's no red light of death.
Yeah, there's nothing like that. And also, based on, like, the reviews didn't mention this, but there was a DayWare firmware update, so I'm assuming that DayWare firmware update broke it, because all of those people that already posted the reviews came out, you know, shortly after launch or before launch being like, hey, I'm having this issue.
This started showing up as an issue like on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, like for the people that have been reviewing as the embargoes were starting to lift and they were allowed to start streaming some things. So that's kind of when they went off of what I guess I would call developmental firmware and probably went on real firmware. But it can be fixed. It might also be something that like Insomniac needs to just put a patch in for Spider-Man. And it could also help fix it.
Yeah, for the rest mode issues.
Yeah, so just play it safe. I mean, from this standpoint, with the way that these systems boot up, like rest mode was great on PS4. I don't know how important rest mode is on these systems that can boot up so fast.
And download are significantly faster. But besides that, besides all the horrible shit that I had to deal with in my first 4 days, I fucking love the PS5. Mm-hmm. Like, the SSD, like, was the thing I was most excited about because of the loading times. It is so impressive how fast it is to boot the system on from off to on.
Yep.
And how fast it is to load up a game like Miles Morales.
And play. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, the most significant thing for me is Destiny. Like, Destiny was a slog on PS4 of terms of, like, getting to the character select screen, getting to orbit, going from orbit to the tower, going from the tower to a destination, blah, 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 blah. Excuse me. And all that is gone.
Yeah. I've noticed this on some of the backwards compatible games that I've been playing. Yeah. I loaded up like Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk actually had really good frame rate. It would freak out sometimes. And the loading screens weren't too bad. But then on the PS4, those loading screens were cut significantly from it. Not like crazy like Spider-Man, but, you know, a 15-second load screen is now like 8 seconds, which doesn't seem like a lot. But, you know, over time, you realize like, oh, shit, we were running on really old hardware with the PlayStation 4. And now with the SSD, I'm just super impressed with that stuff, and I'm excited for developers to do it. Like Miles Morales, you only see the Insomniac logo and the PlayStation logo once. Every time you boot that game after that, it goes straight to the game or the main menu. Mm-hmm. So if games can do that more, where I don't have to see the 10 developers that worked on this game's logo after first boot, that would be something I'd be really excited about.
Well, I also noticed the load time difference, and again, I'm sorry guys, like it's going to be a lot of Destiny references, but at the same time, it's a really good reference in terms of like load times, because
yeah, you don't watch that ship.
Yeah, we don't know like what, you know, I haven't played Spider-Man on PS4, I haven't played Miles Morales on PS4, like, or and you played Spider-Man on PS4, but you're not playing Miles Morales on PS4. So yeah. In terms of, this is something that I've spent a significant amount of time with, and I was actually grouped up with somebody in our clan that was playing on PS4, which, by the way, that just seamlessly 100% works. No problem. No special screen. Nothing else to do. It shows up on the roster. I can join them and play. Yeah, the PlayStation Party system just works. Again,
though I don't like the way the UI is with the PlayStation Party stuff. And
yeah, I'm not
we'll
a
get
huge
to UI
yeah.
stuff.
But then when I went from Destination to the tower, I could definitely tell that I was with a PS4 user, because I was like, I noticed like, okay, it's actually taking a little longer to get there because yeah. he was on my team. So I was like, oh wow. And it's like, okay,
how does it handle that? Do you load into the world first, or you're stuck at that loading screen?
It used to be like, at least on PS4, like, because some people had better hard drives or had SSDs in their PS4s, and you would see them, they'd be waiting for me to land or waiting for other players to like join the thing. I feel like the Destiny now, probably knowing that there is going to be this thing happening with, you know, previous gen and current gen, I think it's trying to drop everybody in at the same time. So at least the one that I noticed of going to the tower, it seemed to be dropping us both in at the same time.
You're going to start judging your Destiny groups by, like, when you go on your friend list and you see the PS4 logo and the PS5 logo, you're going to be like, I'm not going to play with that person today. I don't have time to wait.
And then again, this is without the next gen update. So I'd be really curious to how this game is going to behave when the next gen update happens. Cause technically I'm just playing a backwards compatible version of PS4.
Yeah. A game we'll talk about a little bit later, and what you know, like what we're playing specifics. Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Mm-hmm.
That is a long load on a PS4 mm-hmm. to like get to the main menu and then hit play, and then you get the long load screen. That is super short. It's not like it's non-existent on a PS5, but it's super short. And Assassin's Creed for years have had the thing where when you load into a new area, they put you in like this blank Animus room, virtual reality room, and your character just gets to walk around and run around for 2-3 minutes while the game loads. You transition to a scene and it puts you in that loading area, and you're there for like maybe 5 seconds, to where it's almost, there's no reason for that area to exist on new consoles anymore.
Right.
Because you just like jump.
But again,
right in.
Those things are existing because they're building it for both platform or for both generations.
Yes, yeah, so. But it's just funny because it's just like, man, you know how much time they could save me if they wouldn't load up that stupid little area where I walk around?
I can't wait to see the first, and I guess Godfall technically would be it, but I can't wait to see the first top tier PS5 or top tier PS5 series exclusive, or you know, exclusive game.
Yeah, whether if only that wouldn't crash as much as it has been for people.
Yeah, whether it's you know, whether it's something from Ubisoft or something from EA or something from Activision, that hey, this game's only come into PS5 and Xbox Series, it's not coming to the previous generation, and here's why.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I'm super into like how fast everything loads. The UI, it's taken a while to get used to. You mentioned earlier the PS4 UI, they kind of used it, but they also made things a little bit harder. I feel like I'm digging into the menu more than I should have to do basic things. I like the control center or whatever that is, where you hit the PlayStation button and it brings up a little menu bar with different options. But I hate the way it handles the friend list. Like, it's been replaced with something called Game Base, which shows mm-hmm. you parties and then friend list. I feel like that's just a little cluttered.
Yeah.
And you have to click down and scroll way too much for that stuff. I also feel like the trophy stuff, why it's visually pleasing how they have everything, there's just the icons are too big, so you don't get as much information when on the trophy icon. You have to click into like the trophy list, and then you click into the individual trophies just to read things out. The way it handles the library, there's no search functionality in the library.
Unreal.
So you have
unreal.
I have, like, humble brag, I have like 400 plus games. So I had to like really scroll, like I had to put things alphabetical, and like, because I downloaded Skyrim because Sarah wanted to see what Skyrim looks like, or how it runs, or how fast it loads. So I had to get Skyrim. So I had to like go all the way down to the like near bottom of my list to go find it. So there's like little things that I almost feel like the UI feels like. Not that it was an afterthought, but it felt like they didn't have enough time to like really bake the UI. So they're like, they use the PS4's UI and then just like tack stuff onto
pretty,
it.
Pretty, it made it shinier and prettier.
Yeah, yeah, which it is. It runs in 4K HDR. As silly as that may sound, it does look super nice. Though it is funny. I read a couple reviews that like were like, oh my god, and. The game music plays when you click the icon. It's like, that's been a thing since the PS3. You can tell, like, from reviewers who actually, like, plays PlayStation consoles, because anyone that bragged about, like, oh, the Miles Morales icon in the menu plays the theme song from that game. It's like, dude, that shit's been around since PS3. Like, it's just not every game does it.
It's like, people know if you leave it on the, if you leave the, your cursor on the Netflix tile, you get to see like the first 30 seconds of an episode.
Yeah, dude, it drove me crazy when I would read a review and I would see that. And I would just be like, why are they even wasting space talking about this? It's a thing that's been there for a while. There's no folders, which I loved folders, but I guess it's not really an issue because the hard drive is so limited
space,
right
600
now.
Gigs.
Yeah, like I have 10 games on my PlayStation. It's filled. So it's not like that's like a big deal right now. But I would like to see the search functionality. I would like to see folders. I want to see, even though that control panel thing I like, I feel like there's too many icons, but I need them to break game base into two icons, party and friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is that parties aren't an independently accessible thing anymore. Like they, you have
yeah,
to,
it's
you
just
ha-
a thing
it's,
you
a,
create
it's,
forever.
It's a thread. Yeah, like. And it's kind of sucks. Like I mean, I know we didn't really delve into this too much because since the firmware update on PS4 that did this, I used to use party systems all the time.
I don't know.
This is kind of the double-edged sword of what I was sort of asking for when I was saying that I wanted like Discord integration on the PS5 because I thought it'd be better. And this is kind of their version of Discord integration. Where
yeah.
I can make a thread, or you can have a thread of like 10 of your guys that you play your you know multiplayer games at like midnight with, but the thing that sucks is that the annoying parts, and I haven't dug in to see if I can change this in notifications on my phone or anything like that, but I'm in a group with like Johnny and Zeus and Vlad and a handful of other guys that I've been playing video games with for years, and it's a thread. I get a notification on my phone: Zeus started a party, Johnny started a party. You know, and like those are kind of annoying, but I'm in that thread because when I do jump on PlayStation 4 or 5, I want to see who's online and who's in a party. I can't just turn on PS4 or PS5, go into a party, make a party and be in there by myself and play the game, and other people can know, oh, Dave's playing, you know, Destiny, or Dave's playing Watch Dogs, or Dave's playing Apex, whatever, and I can join in at his party, talk to him, see what's going on, and join up on his game, and or we can just be in there and hang out. Like, you have to be invited to the thread to do that,
and it's really annoying. Like, I wanted to play games with my friend Josh, different Josh, and I was like, okay, let me get in a party with Josh, and I'm just like looking at my party list, and it's just like, okay, there's Josh, but that's my group where it's my friend Josh, my friend Albert, my friend Henton, and then there's my friend Josh, my friend Albert in a group, and I like scroll through. I'm like, okay, where's just a fucking solo party,
right,
for me and my friend
Josh? That's dumb. My party like it's yeah. dumb if you and I wanted to have our own thread on, you know, like where if we're both on PSN at the same time, we want to jump in a party and we could see that. But then if all of a sudden, like, I don't even know, let's just say we've been playing Rocket League with like six other people, and all of a sudden we made a thread for that. You have to add people to that thread or make another thread,
and then you loot. Yeah, yeah, you basically lose the original thread. So that feels like they wanted to do like their Discord group server thing, but they had to still attach it to the PS4 UI and infrastructure. So that is what we get. Which, like, I, as much as I love crossplay, I kind of almost understand when they're like, we believe in generations,
yeah.
because they went back on that. That's what we have now. That's a little annoying about it. But again, something that could be fixed with firmware. These are all things, like, every problem I have with this system could be fixed and reiterated on, and like improved upon.
I love that the PlayStation Plus it had its own icon on PS4, but it just works tremendously faster on PS5, where you just like add.
Oh yeah, yeah, and just like in your library, you know, it says like your collection, your PlayStation Plus collection, your mm-hmm. installed collection. That stuff's good. That's really smart. The game guide stuff is pretty cool. Like, I didn't really use it, but I like seeing the percentages I'm at.
Totally forgot about that.
Yeah, I haven't used it, but like when I click the game panel thing, and then in Miles Morales, it's like you're 20% through these specific missions. You're 15% here. You're 7% here.
My son was talking to me about that today. Yeah, my oldest.
I like that stuff, especially for like open world games where there's a bunch of fucking activities you're doing, and if you want to chase the platinum, that stuff's super helpful.
Yeah, he said something to me like, "Oh, I'm like over halfway through Miles Morales already." I'm like, "Oh, how do you know that?" He goes, "Well, when I go back and do the save, it says the percentage." I'm like, "Oh." Certain games did that, but now like the PS5 is telling you like how far you are in the game is kind of nice.
Yeah, Miles has it like when you load the game, it tells you the percentage, which the other Spider-Man did, and then when you click the control thing, it'll tell you percentages with specific activities, which mm-hmm. is the thing that I really like, and I hope more games do it. Though it's the one feature I don't know how well third parties will do that stuff. So. That's really good. Like overall, I'm really happy with like the hardware. I just need some software to be fixed and worked on. Because I've been the last like 3-4 nights, I've been staying up late, which I haven't done in a while, where I'm just like playing games every night, just like experimenting with like backwards compatible games. To where now I'm definitely going to retire my PS4. Like, there's no reason for me to use my PS4.
Mine's definitely going to, like, Pro. To move upstairs. I still want to test remote play, but that's mm-hmm. that's down the line. I mean, I'm going to move that up and move the PlayStation up into, probably into the bedroom and use, like, a media remote and just use that as another. There's certain things that I think Amazon Fire Stick doesn't have that PlayStation has, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why like I have a Chromecast, because like I don't want to use this gigantic system to watch movies on.
Yeah.
But yeah, as soon as they fix the extended storage stuff, then I'll probably feel way more comfortable retiring my PS4 and my PS4 Pro, just because space limitations. But I'm excited, you know, once I get the Platinum in Miles, which requires a New Game Plus, but the game is only like 10 hours long, so I can easily do that. With New Game Plus, probably in half that time, I'll probably delete Miles and mm-hmm. move in another PS4 game and just keep working that way. Because like the next game I want to play is Ghost of Tsushima. Like that's my next game I'm going to play. Because there's not going to be anything else out until Cyberpunk, if Cyberpunk makes it here. So I'm just gonna have to work with those limitations. Like maybe I'll just use my extended storage to just store games on, but then as soon as the transfer's done, I'm unplugging that so it doesn't crash my system.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sad that I'm gonna have to do that. But overall, like, I'm really excited for like the future of this and developers messing with the SSD stuff. I know I sounded negative earlier, but like I'm impressed with it.
Sounds like just looking on the internet, it's just more annoyances or irritations than it is like what I would
minor
call
inconveniences.
Yeah, like I would call like none of what I would call is like defective. I guess if your system is like crashing, like I guess that can be a defect, but I don't think that anything's like defective. It's like to the point of where people are like, "Oh, I'm so happy that I'm waiting." Like, no, well, you're not really. You're just pointing that you're happy that you're waiting because you couldn't get one.
yeah. I mean, it is frustrating if like, because a lot of people, I'm assuming, because there's not a ton of games right now, would be using this as a backwards compatibility machine. But like right now, with the extended storage issues, it might not be the most optimal backwards compatible machine. But I don't think we're going to be waiting too long for fixes from Sony. I'm
actually kind of surprised that, I mean, granted, it has only been like 4 days, but that they haven't really even said anything publicly about like some of the issues that they're running into. Now, again, you know, a lot of these things started showing up like Thursday afternoon and then, mm-hmm. you know, like Friday, and then they probably couldn't. Veterans Day was kind of in there too. So, I mean, maybe we'll hear something from them.
Hot fixes are harder right now. But
maybe we'll hear something from them Monday, Tuesday, of them coming out and saying, "Hey, we're aware, we're working on it." But overall, both systems, I think Xbox Live or whatever, Xbox servers went down for about 90 minutes, like on the 11th, I think, the day after the system was out. No PSN issues that I'm aware of at all.
No, and I was kind of expecting PSN issues just because of popularity, but no, it was fine.
So no PSN issues. And then overall, like this, the stuff that I've heard, like I've seen some headlines that say like Xbox, Call of Duty on Xbox is running 120 frames a second, but not on PS4 or PS5. I'm sorry. I've seen something like that. And then I've also seen, I lost my other train of thought for the other thing. Oh, it seems to, on your PS5, it seems to want to install the PS4 version of a game, especially in Call of Duty.
Which it tried to do that with Valhalla, where I downloaded Valhalla and it downloaded the PS4 and PS5 version, and I couldn't fucking decipher which one was which until they finished downloading.
Yeah. I don't think they have to
fix that.
I don't think I had that problem with Watch Dogs, because I think I saw like the PS5 logo or upgrade to PS5 or something on it when I downloaded it. But I haven't really had too many issues with that. I've spent more time.
There's also a PS3 tab, which makes me hopeful for the future. Okay. When I was in my library and I saw a PS3 tab, I'm just like, huh, were they trying and then they failed? And that just like, will that be removed, that tab, you know, when the new consoles or when the next firmware comes out? Like, was that like an accident of like, oh, fuck, we're not done with that? Or this plan was scrapped.
Yeah. I guess, what do you think of the, I know you talked about it briefly with Astro, but what do you think of the controller?
So I really love the feel of the controller. I think it's a good weight. I think it's an improvement over the DualShock 4. I hate the microphone. I hate having a microphone, especially when it has you blow into the microphone for like Astro. I don't want to do that. But if you mute it, it just, anytime a game asks you to blow into the microphone, if it's muted, we'll just automatically do that. I don't think the haptic feedback is as revolutionary as people thought. Like, I feel all the differences. It's kind of cool, but it's just, I don't feel like it's adding so much to my experience that I'm like, oh my god, this is revolutionary, this is crazy. But it's still cool, especially with the combination of the speaker and the controller, which isn't anything new. But that combination is good. The triggers, I do like the triggers. It takes a while to get used to, because sometimes in some games I forget that they exist, but I'm assuming that will go away over time. You know, the triggers, like putting pressure and like fighting back, basically, when you do stuff, like you're pulling an arrow in Assassin's Creed, or certain moves in Spider-Man or Astrobot, or Astro's Playroom, where it has you like do different things with it.
Yeah, but Astro, just to be clear, like, and I haven't even played it, but again, reading articles, like Astro's Playroom is a tech demo for the controller.
Yes, yeah, it totally is. So it shows you different things that the controller can do in different ways. So I like the triggers more than I like the haptic feedback. Not that I hate the haptic feedback, I just don't think it's as big a deal. But the triggers, I think, add a lot to the gameplay.
But do you think in 4 years, when you pull a bow again in Assassin's Creed, whatever, that it's gonna have that built into it still?
I think it's easy enough that it probably will. I just don't think we'll see stuff like blowing into the controller in other games.
You won't. So, I don't think you're going to see that in I don't think you're going to see that in Destruction All-Stars. I don't think you're going to, you know, I'm trying to think.
And you can disable it, because like if you're playing competitive Call of Duty, I haven't played Call of Duty to know if they have trigger, like the trigger pressure. I would assume if you're playing competitive Call of Duty, you would want to turn that shit off super quick, because it's just like one more thing you have to work with. So I can see some games taking advantage of it, because I don't think it's going to be that dev intensive. It's not going to be like the game guide thing is something I think people are going to abandon real fast, because that takes a lot of effort for the developers to be like, hey, we need to produce 200. I think Demon's Souls has like 200 videos.
Yeah.
Like that's a lot for a developer to do.
Well, it sounds like somebody was telling me too. I was talking to him the other day. I think it was Wyatt, that he was saying that he saw or watched a whole breakdown video of somebody like opening the controller. And taking it apart, and that the haptic feedback and the rumble is essentially an audio file sort of thing. Like it moves, it distributes the information to the controller like it would for audio in and audio out. So in terms of designing or developing for it, it might be a little easier, because it's like, I guess, a quote unquote kind of like it's supposedly got like a sound file, not an actual like command that you have to enter.
Yeah, it's like a sound visualizer and equalization that they can just like run audio through, and then you can get some sort of
the audio. The audio is telling them. Yeah, the audio is telling the controller what to do in terms of the feedback.
Yeah, I will say, like, when I was playing Astro and it was raining and I can feel like little raindrops on my controller, that was kind of cool. Would it be something I would notice or be annoyed about if I'm playing a game where it's raining all the time? Maybe, you know, like you'll forget about it. But I guess it might be some of the appeal for something like the DualSense controller that, like when you think of like a game soundtrack, like a really good game soundtrack, it usually works hand in hand with what you're doing on the screen. It doesn't overbear the gameplay, or at least that's how I do it. Or how I feel about a soundtrack. A good soundtrack will blend into the game and they will be, you know, perfectly synchronized.
Tension when you're going up a hallway getting ready for a boss fight.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not like thinking like, oh man, this music's better than the gameplay. Like they complement each other.
Right.
And I'm guessing that's the role the DualSense controller could have with its haptic feedback of like good, you know, like good haptic feedback or good game design is you don't even notice how much it's adding to the experience because it's working in symphony with everything else. So hopefully that stuff will be important and it'll just be one of those scenes where PS6, it won't even be a question about like, hey, there's haptic feedback and adaptive triggers.
Do you see the features of the controller being a system seller?
God, no, not at all. Because, you know, I'm sure we're probably like a couple months away from, you know, Astro putting out like a new set of controllers for competitive gaming. So I don't know if it's going to be a system seller. It's definitely that thing that, like, when I was playing Astro, Sarah hates Rumble. Like, she usually turns it off on controllers. But I totally was like, hey, hold the controller because, like, it's raining right now. Or, like, hold the controller because, like, Miles's electricity is, like, rumbling through the controller. And she was like, oh, that's cool. But she was like, I'm still going to turn that off. Like,
all the feedback and stuff that I've done from the little bit of esports or competitive covering that we've done or the controllers that we've been introduced to, like, if you really talk to, like you mentioned, like a competitive Fortnite player, a competitive Call of Duty player, a competitive shooter at all, they turn it all off.
Yes,
they turn everything off.
Like, yeah, and it just makes sense. So, like, I think we're going to see a game-by-game basis on how they play with those features.
The thing that I was actually the most impressed with, and I noticed this as like people that are watching the stream or if you've ever seen me play at all, like I use these Logitech headphones all the time. Like I love them. They're super comfortable. They're plugged into my mixer. When I was having all the issues, not, you know, quote-unquote issues, like when my setup is not 100% with my PS5 right now, I'm like, all right, I'm just plugging my headphones into the controller. Worked great, like it's expected to since PS4. The 3D audio directly working through PlayStation and through any headset, anything, was really cool. Go ahead.
This headset that I'm wearing right now, these Turtle Beaches, I had audio issues with Miles Morales. I went into the 3D audio thing and I couldn't understand exactly what I was picking because
I haven't touched anything.
Yeah, I think I might need to try my other set.
Yeah, the biggest thing that I noticed is that, the same chair I'm sitting in right now is where I play PS5. And I'll take my headphone, my wife or my son might have been next to me, I'll take my headphones off one ear so I can hear them talking to me. And I significantly was able to hear less of the game because it wasn't on both ears. As I was, you know, before, when you could still hear what you wanted to hear on the first ear, when you only had it on one ear. So, like, that was the part that, and that was just in Destiny. Like, not even a game that was necessarily built around the 3D audio.
Yeah, I'm going to try my other headset, but I might need to buy a new headset buy a better headset because I was having audio issues, but it also could have just been related to Miles because Miles has some sort of issues with the system sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested in that. And I tried to adjust the 3D audio and I just couldn't understand how it worked because it just gave me like some weird sounds that sounded like it was all like scrambled. And so I was like trying to figure out like, what am I listening for and how to play this?
And I haven't tried headphones on the Xbox at all yet. So I've got a set of Turtle Beach headphones that were sent to me that I will try on the Xbox. I've got the Turtle Beach headphones that I did the unboxing for PlayStation that I'll try to start using those a little bit more. And so like we'll see where some of this stuff is going so I can start making some recommendations of headphones that you guys should be looking for of things that you want. But just know, like, I mean, again, I haven't plugged my Samsung headphones into them or anything like that. It didn't come with anything in the box unless I missed that too. Now you're going to make me go through my PlayStation 5 box again.
Yeah, you're probably going to have to.
But I mean, overall, I mean, like that's kind of like our thoughts on the controllers. Somebody did bring up a point, and when they were talking to me about it a little bit, I started thinking about it. Do the thumbsticks feel like the original launch PS4 thumbsticks to you that tore?
Well, can you repeat that? Sorry.
The thumbsticks. Do the thumbsticks, the coverings, the rubber covering on the thumbsticks, does it feel similar to the rubber, the covering on the PS4 controllers that at launch were tearing?
No, I don't think it felt any different, but I didn't have issues with mine tearing like other people's had. So hopefully they're a little better.
Yeah. So overall, that's a little bit of the thoughts on both. Again, I hope to get a little bit more time with the systems themselves. Like I said, when I get it all set up and streaming, I we can do that stuff. It's always been important for me to stream to you guys, and I felt bad that neither one of us streamed this week with the new systems. But at the same time, I don't really know if there's anything super cool that we wanted to show you. So like playing, like Michael, what have you been playing?
Okay, so I spent a decent amount of time with Astrobot. Didn't beat it because once like Miles was downloaded, I jumped off Astrobot. Astrobot, it's pretty cool. Like it's a cute, like family friendly game. Most of the fun I've been having in Astrobot, other than learning about the controller, has been just the Easter eggs and nods to PlayStation, because that entire game is like, oh shit, I remember that, or like, oh, that's a cute reference, or I know that reference. So Astrobot has been cool. I keep calling it Astrobot. Astro's Playroom. So played a decent amount of that. I didn't get a chance to play Bugsnax just because I was messing around with everything else. For backwards compatible games, I played some Tony Hawk, just to test out like the loading screens and like consistent frame rate. That ran great. Pacer, which is a game I reviewed last week, I mentioned that there was like some frame rate issues in that like preload video into every race. I did not notice that on the PS5, so I'm guessing the extra hardware helped take care of that. What else did I end up playing? So I finished Miles Morales today.
Nice.
Overall, like, I think that is a must play if you're on PS4 or PS5. Though on PS5, it looks great. Like, I'm playing in fidelity mode. So fidelity mode is locked 30 frames per second with all the ray tracing and extra lighting stuff. So the game looks good. The original Spider-Man on PS4 ran at 30 frames per second as well. So this was perfect for me. I wasn't getting a downgrade frame rate wise. The other frame rate is like up to 4K with 60 frames per second. But I was just like, no, this can be the best looking version of this game at a consistent 30, which we've always talked about how we would rather have consistency more than higher. So that runs great. It looks beautiful. So the main story with this is Peter Parker and Mary Jane, they go on a work vacation and they leave Miles in charge of the city and protect it. He's living in Harlem. So Harlem becomes like a very big focal point. It's like the epicenter of this game. And there's currently a fight between Rexxon, which is like your generic big evil tech corporation. And they are currently at war with the Underground, which is a rebel group who's just fighting the big company. So that's like the main story. And Miles finds himself in between this battle, trying to figure out who's really the bad guy sort of thing. But New York is the playground. It's the same city that you played in the other Spider-Man. So I know some people have some feelings about, you know, it being in the exact same city it was before, but it's Spider-Man. Spider-Man is New York. You can't really pull Spider-Man out of New York. But they added a lot more stuff to Harlem, to where it feels pretty different enough, especially because it's taking place in winter. The city looks different. The weather effects look great. I'm in love with the game. And it does a thing that was my minor complaint with Spider-Man originally. I think that game was like 20 to 30 hours. And I was like, God, that's just a little too long. Miles is like 10 to 15 hours. And that's perfect. It's like the perfect amount of time to spend in the city. And the story is great. Like, I don't know if they can ever do a bad Miles Morales story, just because Miles in any medium is a very likable character. It's at the heart of the Spider-Man story is, you know, like a teenager trying to grow up and like learn to live with their special abilities. So like Miles captures that so well and just adds a different flavor to what we're used to seeing at that story. One thing that I think, though, that they kind of, Insomniac kind of backed themselves into a corner, because holy shit, Miles is so much more fun to play than Peter Parker. Because he has completely different abilities. Miles uses like bioelectricity, he calls it Venom. And he also has a cloaking camouflage invisibility thing, which makes the stealth so much more fun and easy to deal with. And because of these new tools on top of his already, you know, like his basic Spider-Man abilities, makes him so much more varied gameplay wise and so much more fun to play than the original Peter Parker did. And I loved Spider-Man 2018. But now Insomniac's back themselves in a corner where I'm guessing the next game is going to be Peter Parker focused.
Like, what new cool thing can he do? Like, what new gameplay initiative can they give him with that still follows in the comic book narrative, you know?
Yeah. Or they just turn it into, like, you switch between the two, which is probably what they're going to do. But even then, you'll have the point where you're like, shit, I'm playing as Peter Parker for this long? Like, because Miles is so much fun. But I guess personality will keep Peter Parker around. So
he's got a good personality.
Yeah, basically. It's basically what it's going to come down to. But Miles is great. Like, the game was super fun to play. I love where the story goes. Insomniac continues to put their own spin on the lore, and they haven't made a mistake yet. Or at least in my opinion, they haven't made a mistake lore-wise. And I'm just like, oh, did they really make that change? It's really good. There's a lot of heart to it. It's funny, I was feeling a bit of the emotions while I was playing the end game, but I put on like one of the animated costumes, which kind of just took me out of it. So maybe when you get to the end game, the game will tell you like, hey, when you go beyond this point, like we're in the end game. Maybe you want to change your costume or add some upgrades. Change your costume to the story one. It makes a lot more sense than when you just have like the animated costume. So that to me is like a must play. For PS5 owners, there's not a lot of choices. It's you either want like the fun casual play that is Spider-Man Miles Morales, or you want the challenging fun gameplay that is Demon Souls.
Challenging, like that is the whoop your ass.
yeah. But those are the options right now. So yeah. You pick your camp, basically. Though I hear Demon Souls is great for the people that like Demon Souls. My friends fucking bought their PlayStations for Demon Souls.
Yeah, my wife watched them like. Some people like it showed up on her timeline, like what she follows the people she follows in her Twitter world. People were talking about the Demon Souls trailer, and so she watched something or like, some reactionary to the thing, and she like didn't get it. I'm like, Angie, this is like a marquee franchise that people are looking. And she's like, yeah, but it's a remake. I go, yeah, but it's a, you know, like a 12 or 15 year in the making remake of like an area that they spent all this time in, and now that just looks that much better.
Yeah, it might be the best looking game on a new consoles too.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I think Spider-Man is like a must play. And it's also nice just to like, it sounds weird, but like, I don't know, maybe it's just because like I'm you know, half Spanish, but like to hear characters speak Spanish and we're not playing a game where we're in like a Spanish dictator country, you know, like
you're not playing Far Cry, you're playing Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly. Like just to hear characters just, you know, just speak Spanish to see like the representation there is really nice, because I feel like the only time I hear Spanish in games is when I'm playing some like Ubisoft game and I'm like in a country overthrowing a dictator, so it's nice to see like, you know, that sort of representation in Spider-Man. And then that's it for Spider-Man. Then Assassin's Creed Valhalla, we talked about it last week. The story is just, the quick pitch for the story is your character, Ivar, you can pick a man or a woman, doesn't really have that much of a effect on the gameplay, whichever one you pick or the story. You're out for revenge because your village was, like, devastated by, like, some conqueror guy. So you go out, seek revenge, and kill him, while doing that, you get tired of the leader of your village or the king of your village, how they're running things. So you decide that you're going to go to England to like be free and not live under the tyranny of a king. And that's like the joke because they're moving to England. So like they are going to be under the tyranny of a king. But it's basically the Vikings trying to make home and settle in England, which, you know, chaos ensues. So that's the story without getting too spoilery, because I feel like anything else is like just you don't want to spoil too much stuff. But it's your typical Assassin's Creed story in terms of you got your historical stuff mixed in. You have your weird humor with Assassin's Creed, which is always really good. I feel like when it comes to like Watch Dogs and some of the Tom Clancy games, Ubisoft always wants to try and do like dramatic story, but they want to mix in some humor, and they can never hit it except in Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed, they're always able to find a balance.
They've done pretty well in the last couple Far Cry games, though.
It always just seems like they maybe it's just because I just played Watch Dogs Legion, where I feel like they do not strike that balance well enough. Assassin's Creed, I feel like they always are able to hit that, like, hey, here's a funny moment in this, like, somewhat serious story.
Right.
So this continues that, where it's, like, it's really good writing.
I think it fits a little better, too, like, after you just, like, decapitate somebody just to make a joke, you know?
Yeah. No, it totally. It probably helps, because it's not that realistic in terms of, like, the story premise. It's not trying to be super realistic, though it kind of is, maybe. The assassin element was like pretty fuzzy for most of the game. But the gameplay isn't too far off from Odyssey and Origin. Assassin's Creed Valhalla is continuing a tradition of moving Assassin's Creed from an action adventure game to an action RPG. And this is just moving it further down that, like, that spectrum, to where this is an RPG game where you're worrying about stamina, you're leveling up your character, you're doing dialogue choices. There are, you know, you're more and more RPG as they go along, to where at this point now, I feel like there's two eras in Assassin's Creed. There's action adventure SEO era, and then there is whatever this era is, which is just the RPG era of Assassin's Creed, which isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing. Like, I'm glad they've been able to evolve this franchise into something more, because it would get stale if they didn't. So gameplay is fun as usual. I played it on PS4. I talked about it last week. It was buggy on a PS4. It's still buggy on a PS5, but that's just
sucks.
Like, yeah, but frame rate is silky smooth compared to the PS4, like so much better. Like the frame rate's so good. The visual fidelity is so much better. The load times I talked about earlier is really good. So, you know, if you're wondering like where you want to play Assassin's Creed, play it on next gen, because the benefits are there. It's not choppy. I haven't had any game crash stuff. Most of the bugs I've seen are just, you know, like some flickering with some of the backgrounds and just, you know, weird open world bullshit that you see in everything. You know, like NPCs acting a little funny. But the important thing is the frame rate and visual fidelity are fantastic. Like, it feels like I'm playing a completely different game, even though I spent, you know, like a good chunk of it on a PS4 and playing it on a PS5. It just runs so much smoother. Mm-hmm. The Ubisoft Connect stuff works so seamless. Like, I was expecting to, like, okay, let me load up the game. Okay, let me go to my Ubisoft Connect account. Let me download my save to my system and then go from there.
It just works.
Nope, it's just, you just hit load game. It'll have a little cloud icon on your last save, and you click it, and then you're in. And then the loading so fast, like, it was nothing. So I love that. Like, it was super seamless. I'm not annoyed that I had to make an Ubisoft account, you know. And you don't have to log in multiple times, because once you tie it to your PSN ID, you're good to go. So once you're signed into PSN, you're signed into your Ubisoft Connect account. So that stuff is really, really cool, especially if you're doing what I'm doing of you played it on PS4 to start and then you moved over to PS5. This is another game I think this is definitely worth playing. This continues the tradition of Assassin's Creed, where they are moving more towards RPG, but they're making a better game each and every iteration. I don't know when we're going to plateau, you know, when they're going to hit that point that they hit with the previous run of games, where,
but
you know,
at that
eventually...
point in time, they can go back to, hey, we're just going back to true hack and slash, you know, like,
yeah, exactly. Like, eventually they're going to hit the point where it's just like, there's only so much we can do before they have to reboot it. But if they continue to take, you know, like 2 years between games, mm-hmm. that's perfect. As long as this doesn't turn into a yearly thing again, I think they can ride the Assassin's Creed franchise for a couple more iterations. Mm-hmm. So definitely worth playing on next gen, just for the benefits alone. So we'll discount that as my review. That's pretty much it. It was just those games. And then Sarah's going to test Skyrim. So I'm probably going to lose Sarah to Skyrim if it runs really well. Which I'm interested to see how Skyrim works. Cause remember the Skyrim that was released at PS4 has mod support. I want to know if those mods can function properly with the PS5, even though the PS5 is only running in backwards compatibility mode. I'm just wondering if I'm going to see some weird shit happen technically,
right.
Running those mods, which weren't meant to be running on a PS5.
Right.
What did you play? Sorry, I kind of talked for
a while. No, you're fine. Mine's not going to be very long anyways. I'm just with everything that was going on with work and everything like that. I mean, and I fell onto the Destiny wagon pretty hard. So Beyond Light came out on Tuesday. This is the first time in a long time I didn't take any time off of work, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show. No time off of work for either console launch, and no time off of work for Destiny expansion launch. Typically in years past, I've always like just played like the whole day that comes out. But the writing was on the wall with this one too, in terms of the scope of the expansion, of what it was going to be, as well as the consistent server issues that this game has had. Again, that happened at launch. So Destiny's games reset at noon Eastern time. And that's when Beyond Light came out and was available. And there was people that still couldn't get in at 5 and 6 o'clock at night because of server queues. So it didn't bother me that I wasn't there at launch, because I would have just probably been annoyed. So there's a new subclass, a new element introduced in the game called Stasis, and also a new destination called Europa, which is a moon of Saturn. And they took a whole bunch of other underplayed content and put it away. So you actually had to reinstall the entire game, and the game actually got smaller. Kind of cool.
Yeah.
Not necessarily cool that like there's some people that aren't happy with like some of their content that they paid for is gone, but Destiny's a live service game. Like, the stuff's going to come and go. Like, it's just going to happen.
And were you playing that content?
Not really, but they're still going to complain that you took away something they paid for. The thing that's the most jarring about this expansion, there's two things for me. One, the story is literally just a tutorial for Stasis, the new ability. Like, that's really all it is. However, in that story...
That's ice ability, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, technically, you're wielding the darkness. So it's the light versus the dark. But yes, it is ice.
Okay.
But it's so then of course you're the storyline is having some issues with certain people aren't liking the fact that you're wielding darkness. Other people are thinking you need to wield darkness to help you actually have a chance in the fight. The continuing story. There is a lot of ties to Destiny 1 year 1 with this expansion. The Stranger, a character that's been gone from the game for like 6 years, is back again. A couple characters from Destiny 1 like Varix, they're back again on Europa. And you're going against just another villain that's trying to, use something to, use Stasis to help, take over. But the story that the ability of what they've been able to do as you're kind of playing through the post-campaign of the conversations that are surrounding the things, the small things that we've heard about for years in Destiny, where they're starting to shine some more light on them. Is really interesting. I wouldn't even call them cutscenes. There's these little quests, and as you finish the quest, you end up in an area where you're trying to put this journal back together. And there's dialogue that's happening between the NPCs without it being a cutscene. Like, I can move around, like they're talking to each other or sometimes talking to me, and it's just something that kind of happens at the end of you completing an objective, but it's not a cutscene. Like, so it's just a kind of in-game dialogue moment that happens. So like those things, those happening are pretty cool. Seeing how this is going to evolve as they roll it into their seasonal content as well, that the technical season of The Hunt kicks off next week. So just kind of seeing how that stuff is going to work. The other part that is, like I said, other than the tutorial for the new ability, is that on top of the fact that they put away a lot of those planets that people weren't really going to anyways, you don't really leave Europa at all.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
this was more focused.
Yeah, but it's interesting that they like, okay, like they're like, they left Nessus as a planet, like that didn't get vaulted, but I haven't set foot on Nessus as you know, in as quest or character progression has not required me to go there. I haven't gone to the moon, which is from Shadowkeep. I really haven't gone to Dreaming City or Tangled Shore, which were from Forsaken. There hasn't, like, they haven't even sent me there to talk to an NPC about something that's going on in the world. And they added a segment of Earth back, and I only went there for one thing. I literally went there to kill like 20 things, and then I left. And mm-hmm. in terms of the quest functionality, so they brought the Cosmodrome back from D1. So it's just, I'm really curious how they're going to use these other planets, and hopefully they use them, you know, in the seasonal content. But the story from Beyond Light, the narrative that's there is good, but it's also very typical of what Destiny's been doing with their stuff. And it's just, it's there to get you, to teach you how to use the new stuff and to help you get the new weapons that you figure out if you want more of the same.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. A couple of people have asked me, like, what do you think of the Destiny expansion? If you already like Destiny, you're going to like this and you're going to be fine. Is Beyond Light going to make somebody want to play Destiny again? Probably not. Is Beyond Light going to make somebody that hasn't played Destiny play Destiny? No. So,
it's basically catering to their core players,
which I think is good. I feel like they went away from that with the launch of Destiny 2, and the people that I think are already complaining about Destiny Beyond Light being a little bit too grindy and too time committal. Like, one, it's been out for 5 days.
Yeah,
and two, you probably didn't play that much of Destiny 1. Like, there's really no other way around it. I am liking what I'm seeing. I am a little worried that it's kind of like digging its hooks into me a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, oh, like what's available today? And I don't know if I want that feeling again from Destiny. Because I've distanced myself from Destiny pretty well over the summer. And I'm okay going back for playing Beyond Light and working on through some of that stuff and then checking out some of the seasonal content. But I don't want this to be something that I feel like I need to play every day. I don't want that anymore.
Yeah.
I want to be able to come home and like play. And I want to play Spider-Man. I want to play Watch Dogs. And I don't want to, while I'm playing them, thinking about, dang, I'm missing out on something in Destiny. Like, I don't want that feeling.
This sounds like an AA meeting.
But again, even talking to people that... The new weapons and every gun feels great. Every, you know, the mechanics of the game and how and their ability to use things and understand how stuff works. Like, their game mechanics are second to none. So, all right, we're going to jump into a couple of questions. We'll see how this goes. All right, so questions from the Facebook group. Robert writes, hope you guys are enjoying the PS5. His smiley face is because he can't get it till next week because he's in Europe. My question is, I need to kind of zoom this a little bit. With regards to bugs and glitches in $60 and $70 games, I've played around 20 hours of Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which I loved every minute. Sadly, I have encountered a bug that stops me from continuing the game. I will have to start again to resolve this according to others with the same bug. What are your feelings on games that have been in development for years and years and then being released with game-breaking bugs? I doubt very much that I'll start it again.
Video games are hard, and they're one of those things that probably, like, realistically, it's almost a miracle that any video game exists and runs. Sadly, bugs suck. I hate them, but like, they're unavoidable to a certain point. A game breaking bug is the worst, though, so I don't blame you for being upset and probably not restarting after you did 20 hours. As someone who had to review a game that like threw away like 3 of my saves a couple years ago, I know exactly how you feel when a game eats your save data. But like, it's super hard and unavoidable, and I'm sure, like, in Valhalla's case, they were releasing on so many damn platforms. Yeah. But it's like super difficult because you're talking about PS4, PS4 Pro, Xbox One S, mm-hmm. Xbox One X, Xbox Series S, Xbox Series X, PS5, Stadia, PC, Steam, Uplay. Like, there's so many things that they put on these development teams that you will run into these issues. Hopefully they can patch them out. But COVID has definitely played a part in like how fast these companies can turn around and get something fixed.
Well, and what sucks about that too is it could be something as simple as, I mean, we don't hear about this as much now as we used 2 years ago, but it'd be like, if you don't light that torch on level 4-1, you're gonna have such a hard problem on level 8-2 because you didn't light the torch, you know?
Yeah.
But yes, that sucks, and I would be really curious to see, because Ubisoft's pretty good about acknowledging these things and saying, hey, they're working on something. So if it's as common of a bug, if you know hundreds or thousands of people are experiencing it, it might, maybe they'll have a patch soon.
Yeah, maybe. But I think it sucks. Like, I don't want to make excuses for bugs, but like, game development is super difficult, and I don't think I've ever played a game that hasn't had some sort of bug. Game breaking bugs are the worst, though.
So Stefan in our Facebook group goes, are you glad you got the PS5? Does ray tracing make the difference everyone was hoping? You need to answer this question because I haven't played a game with ray tracing yet, or at least that I'm aware of.
Okay. So. Okay. So it depends. Ray tracing on console is relatively impressive. It's pretty impressive. Miles Morales, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Watch Dogs Legion, the reflections and the lighting, you definitely see the effects of ray tracing, and it's pretty impressive. They are doing a lot of shortcuts with their ray tracing to get ray tracing on these consoles. So as someone who's seen ray tracing on PC, I'm not crazy impressed with the ray tracing on the consoles just because they're so limited on the consoles. So it depends. If you've seen ray tracing on PC, you're going to look at console ray tracing and be like, eh, this is okay. This is ray tracing light. If you've never seen ray tracing on a PC and you're coming from like a PS4 Pro or an Xbox One X and you see ray tracing on these new consoles, it might blow your mind. Like, the reflections are crazy. The lighting changes, you'll see different lighting changes if you look up a comparison video for like Spider-Man regular, Spider-Man on PS4, and then you look at the ray tracing to the Spider-Man 4 remastered, you'll see differences there, just how like scenes and how lighting affects like the color of a scene. But yeah, Miles Morales, it looks great. Legions, it looks great. It just depends on your level of experience with ray tracing. I'm hoping there's still more power that needs to be tapped from these consoles. I know there is. I want to see what the fuck Naughty Dog does with ray tracing. Just because Naughty Dog's lighting and their scenery is some of the best you can see in gaming. So I want to see what a Naughty Dog can do with ray tracing.
Sony Santa Monica, God of War.
Yes, yeah. Like, I want to see what any Sony studio, we already just saw what Insomniac can do, and, you know, they were a launch game, which means there's still more potential to tap for them. I want to see what any of the first-party Sony studios can do with the PlayStation's version of ray tracing. And same goes to, I want to see what Ninja Theory can do on the Xbox console with their ray tracing. There are going to be shortcuts on these consoles, but it's still impressive, especially when you compare to previous gen, how lighting worked.
I noticed more of this stuff, like in terms of looking at a skybox or looking at like a, you know, like a, like progressing through something as like a focal point. I'm not one of these people that stops playing when you're playing Watch Dogs Legion and looks in the window and go, look, I can see the reflection of the guy standing behind me. Like, I just don't do that. Go ahead.
In Spider-Man, so Miles, when I was on a building, you can see his reflection. You didn't get a reflection, really, or you got a fake reflection before. So it was cool seeing the skyline of Miles, the skyline and Miles reflected in, like, a building window. But then I also noticed the frame rate in that reflection was moving significantly not 30 frames per second. And I can also notice that, like, the fidelity is a little different. So, like, in fast motion, ray tracing is really impressive, but, like, there's a Digital Foundry video that I talked about a couple weeks ago, which compared, like, a screenshot and video of, like, old Spider-Man and new Spider-Man. And you can see all the tricks and corners that they have to cut for ray tracing. So you definitely, if you know what to look for, you can see, like, what they're doing, which could, like, take away from, like, your impression of how they're doing it. But I'm interested to see, Dave, like, Watch Dogs Legion has, like, really good ray tracing. So, and I know you're going to probably focus on that this week.
Yep.
And also Destiny 2, when they get their, hopefully they have some form of ray tracing in that December, like,
yeah, I would, I would out, assume
Destiny will look great.
Yeah, I'm assuming it'll have something in it. And then our last question, Tom asks, can we talk about what Sony can do to stop these bot shoppers from buying up all the PS5s? One guy had about 50, selling each for $1,200. I'm not blaming these people, free market, but if stores don't do something to fix it, then Sony needs to figure it out. Well, first of all, Sony did figure it out by selling their own consoles directly by invite only.
Yes.
And secondly, they can't tell their retailers what to do with the product that they buy from them. They buy it from them to sell it. Like, there's nothing that Sony can do about it. Blame the retailers. My retailer can limit hand sanitizer. Other retailers can limit how many consoles an account can buy, how many consoles an email address can buy, how many consoles an address can buy. They don't do it because it's guaranteed sales.
Yeah, especially right now, we're seeing the difference. Me and Dave's retail experience will come in handy here. In store, typically, retailers will limit how many you can buy in store, because the logic behind it is I can't let someone buy 10 PS5s because that's all they're going to buy. I want the 9 other people to come in, buy their PS5, and then hopefully they buy something extra. Hopefully they sign up for a credit card. So they'll limit in store how many you can buy because they want to make sure they have stock for other people who might buy more. We are living in a different time right now where COVID exists. So retailers are only doing online sales and they're not worrying about someone walking in to a store. So the retailers are just going to sell whoever. They don't give a shit if it's one person buying 50 or it's, you know, just, you know, making sure they satisfy 50 individual customers, because there's no brick and mortar store. They're worried about someone physically walking through and shopping the aisles. So right now it sucks because retailers are basically just, because we're in the state right now that we're in, they're just going to, like, whoever has the money can get what they want.
Right.
And right into these situations.
And also, I think you need to be a little more diligent and understand what's going on in the world right now and in the country. So just because Sony comes out and says you cannot buy consoles in store does not mean that your Walmart, your Target, your Meijer is not getting them in stock. They're just not putting them on the sales floor. And that means that they are available for you to purchase, and you just need to pay more attention on the website in terms of the difference between ship it and pick it up. And picking it up might mean you need to expand your mileage, depending on where you live, to 50 or 60 miles, and maybe you need to drive 40 minutes to get your console, depending on how badly you want your console or not.
Yeah, but it sucks, though. Like, the retail stores need to do a better job at battling bots, because that's super frustrating, and I believe bots are the reason a lot of these websites end up crashing. But they either need to do a CAPTCHA when they're doing it, though most bots can break CAPTCHAs, so they would have to probably do multiple different types of CAPTCHAs, and there, which would be super frustrating for customers, legitimate people trying to buy it, if they have to do 3 CAPTCHAs to get to the cart, because then they're going to blame the CAPTCHAs for why something sold out, because they were spending too long picking a fire hydrant or a mountain than they were doing anything else. But retailers can also, like, they can limit per address how many things that they're going to ship to that address. Retailers could limit how many devices are being put on a specific credit card. They can outright, because, like, if they do 1 per email, all these bots and all these resellers, they have hundreds of emails. Mm-hmm. Like, that won't stop them. They need to limit their addresses so it forces the resellers to, like, send them to every relative they know.
Or if you want these things to stop happening, and again, I'm not speaking directly to Tom, but I'm speaking to a lot of people that I deal with on a customer service basis, and I also deal with, like, just even playing video games with, do not be an ass when they want you to make a damn account. They want you to make the account so that they have your data and they can send you emails and get you to opt into things and buy into the programs. Yes, 100%. That exists. But if you are one of those people that always wants to check out as a guest because you don't want to give them your information, you're going to run into these same problems because you, as a consumer, demanding that ability to check out as a guest is why the bots exist.
Yeah, because they don't have to make an account. They don't have to do anything. They'll just link to PayPal.
So
and then
be a
good.
Pro consumer of whatever company that you like to support and buy things from and download their apps, make an account, and buy the stuff through the app, whether it's Target or Best Buy or Walmart or Meijer or Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah, we'll take how I got my PS5. Wario just sent out a link of being like, hey, here's the Amazon thing. It went directly to my cart. I was already signed in on the app. I hit one click buy.
Yeah,
and
you
I
don't
had
have
it,
to go through. You don't have to go through. It was in my cart, but you made me put my email address in and my mother's phone number and my password. And if you already had a Microsoft account or you already had a Walmart account, you could have just done the one click buy because you already got an Amazon account.
Yeah, you like it sucks, but like the only way to battle a bot is to be the pro consumer of like, all right, I have Walmart, Best Buy, Amazon loaded. My account is already logged in on those three. I know when this device, like Walmart's been really good at
12, 3, 6, 9.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which means people are going to put their bots ready to attack at those times. But what you could do is make sure an hour before you were already logged in on Walmart's website, on Amazon's website.
With an account.
So that's one less thing you have to do, because even a bot is then going to have to like link to, you know, their PayPal account and then confirm through their PayPal and then do that. So the bot still has some hoops it needs to run through. But if you're like logged in on the site, that should help you save some time. Of course, you have to deal with server load. But like, I talked to a couple of people that said that by the time they entered their credit card information in, it was sold out. And my response to those is like, well, you fucked up because you had to enter your credit card information. Yeah. Like, if you're going to buy a console, I know it sucks trying to trust these shitty companies with your credit card information. Just put your credit card information.
That's why you have insurance on your card.
But also, what you could do is an hour before it's going to go live, put your credit card information. Get the thing, have it charged to your card, and then you remove your credit card information from that account.
Yeah.
Like, your card's already charged, it doesn't matter, but you can take your credit card away from the account. Yeah.
The reason why that they've told, you know, like, or retailers have decided not to, obviously because of COVID, not to sell stuff in store, is that even when they, and I've seen this with the gym shoes that I've sold for, like, and I sold gym shoes for a long time at a top tier, like a top mall, number one, like, volume mall. I could tell a customer that I have there could be 300 people in line, and I could tell the line publicly, I got 100 pairs of these shoes, all in these varying sizes, and I could go down the line and check off people's sizes, what they want, and I get to the next person and say, I don't have your size. And I'll go a half size up. I don't have that. They'll still wait in line, hoping the dude in front of them that was taking their size credit card declines.
Yeah, because that totally happens.
Yeah. So even if Target came out and said, hey, we got 5 PS5s, 35, 40 people are going to stand in line hoping that the 34 in front of them's credit cards decline.
Yeah.
Can't do that in a pandemic right now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it sucks. Like, Tom, what he suggested is, like, Sony needs to figure out they can't, unfortunately. They can just
manage their own store. They sent invite onlys.
Yeah, for their own store, but
then
for
people
other
got
retailers,
mad.
They
like,
have no
I didn't,
control.
I didn't get an invite to pre-order a PS5.
I didn't either, and I platinum so many PlayStation get first party.
And
games.
Again, if you're going to base off your ability to allow somebody to pre-order a PS5 off of how many platinum trophies they get or how many thumbs up they give for somebody playing a game, that's bullshit.
Oh yeah, yeah. Or how many purchases they've made on the store? It's like, hey, shit, I have like 400 games in the store. Yeah. How come I didn't get picked? It's just like. It sucks. There's only so many ways they can do it. They can capture their site to hell, but that's just going to annoy people because CAPTCHAs are annoying, and if they put too many of them, then people are going to complain they spent all their time doing that.
Mm-hmm. People that already hate it when you move the checkout button from the right side of the screen to the bottom.
Yeah. This sucks. It's not... You'll be able to get a console in like a month or two. You know, probably within a couple weeks, you'll be able to fight the bots and get a console.
I got a question for most of the people that are maybe frustrated about not being able to get a console because they feel it's only online-only sales. Are you willing to wait in line 3 hours for the possibility of not getting one?
Yeah, that would be the past, you know?
No pandemic. Remove COVID from the equation. Are you going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go stand in line outside of Target? Are you the one of the, are you a Black Friday lineup person? Because I sure as hell ain't. Never been.
No, God, no. Like, even with my PS4, like, I pre-ordered it. I lucked out, pre-ordered it online, but I was not going to stand in the store line for it. Because God, I hate doing that.
I think the longest line I've ever stood in was like 15 or 20 minutes to get like something at midnight. It might have been the PS4. And the only reason I was standing in that line was because I had to wait until a certain time to be able to pick up my system, but it was already paid for and I already knew I had it, versus the waiting in line for the possibility to get it.
Yeah. And especially now, when you would wait in line, oftentimes the retailers wouldn't even tell you. Like, when I worked at Target and we had a line, we were not allowed to tell people in line how many we had, because corporate was just like, no, they need to walk into the store and hopefully they buy something else, you know? So, like, yeah, like, right now it's Battle Royale online, but it's
just
sucks.
Pay attention, turn on tweet notifications, like, find, you know, it's pretty much Wario right now. Like,
yes, you know. Three of my friends DM'd me saying, hey, where can I get a PS5? And I'm like, Wario64 on Twitter. And a couple hours later, they said, thanks, I got a PS5.
Yeah.
Like, because Wario's been, like, tweeting out every time. So success rate is Wario and then Cheap-Ass Gamer, their Twitter account. Consistency, because that's what they do for a living.
And then again, prepare yourself, though, like, because it could be, hey, Walmart has them in stock today, Target has them in stock tomorrow, Best Buy has them in stock the next day. Make sure you have accounts set up on those things already, so you just click the link, and if your phone is set up correctly, it's going to take you right to it. Click it, buy it, you get it, great. You don't.
Yep. So and again, it's only going to be scarce for the next month or so. Like, stores will have these in stock for Christmas, I guarantee it.
All right. So, yeah, that's pretty much the show. I mean, I really think we have anything to spotlight or not right now. I mean, it's a little bit longer than our normal show, but, you know, it's a console release week. I promise I'll play some different games. That's just been, you know, I've just kind of been in a little bit of a funk. And to be fair, it's only been like 3 days since these consoles came out. And I worked all two of the 3 days. So, because I had Monday off and I had Saturday off, and that was it. So you can follow the main account at Digital Days Pod on Twitter. You can follow Michael at FirstMJC. You can follow myself at Good Dave Hunt. Join the Facebook group. Join the Discord channel. You know, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/digitaldaysgaming. $1 tip jar, $3 Discord access, $5 24-hour early access to our weekly show. $7 is a monthly bonus episode. We'll be recording November's pretty soon, within the next week or so. So we'll be putting that out. So for those subscribers there, we appreciate that. And other than that, just be sure to follow us on Twitch, and hopefully our Twitch stuff will start ramping up a little bit. Twitch.tv/digitaldaysgaming, where we also do the show live for a few people. Chat's been a little quiet today, which is, it's later. You know, we're recording a little later at night than we normally do, and early, yeah. So they'll be there Monday night going, where are you at?
Yeah. Sorry, Gus.
But yeah, other than that, I hope everyone has a great week. Have fun with your consoles, and keep moving forward.
Wear a mask still, please, people. Wear a mask. Also, don't be a dick. See ya.